Welcome, everybody, to another TTJ Talk, produced by the Tech Juggernaut at ttjtech.net. All right, yeah, and that was a little bit of Feel So Good from the royalty-free music library. Hey, it is Matt, the Tech Juggernaut, coming at you from ttjtech.net, and I am super excited about what we have planned for you today because Trainer Cliff is going to be joining me live, and he and I will be discussing Apple's Worldwide Developers Conference, or WWDC, which took place just a couple of weeks ago in California. Apple announced quite a huge list of new features for their iOS, tvOS, watchOS, HomePod, and macOS platforms. And they even announced some new hardware as well. So we've got a lot to talk about. Trainer Cliff and I will discuss it. We'll kind of share with you our thoughts, what really stood out to us, and so on. And we'll just have a good time discussing kind of all things Apple, okay? So we're not going to waste any more time. We're going to jump right in with both feet, folks, because we've got a lot to cover. So now let's join Trainer Cliff.
Good afternoon.
There we are. We got Trainer Cliff with us. How you doing, Cliff?
I'm good. Good.
Good. No trouble joining. I guess everything went smoothly then, huh?
Well, as long as you're not doing it from an iPad.
Yeah, the group recording feature only works in the iPhone version at this point. I kind of gave everybody a little bit of an overview of our... Well, I at least mentioned you in the introductory podcast, but why don't you tell everybody a little about yourself or just anything you want to share before we kind of get started?
Well, I've been using iOS devices for about almost 9 years now. I started with an iPhone, then went to an iMac, then I jumped over to a MacBook Air, MacBook Pro, and now currently I have a Mac Mini, although it doesn't get much attention because I do everything on my iPad Pro 2018 11-inch. Me and Matt became friends about 3 years ago. It's kind of a funny story because he posted his he posted his advertisement for his services being paid on it used to be called Peel the Apple. And I emailed him privately, said, look, you know, this is a free service, a free list. I don't want people thinking they have to pay for everything. Yada, yada, yada. He was cordial about it and, you know, didn't do it again. But then I joined one of his, at the time we did a telephone conference. And one day he couldn't make it. And out of the blue texted me and said, could you take over? And we've been throwing stuff back and forth ever since. So right now I currently own an iPhone XX Max, an iPad Pro 11-inch where I do 98% of my computing. The rest of it comes from my iPhone when I'm outside the house. And Apple Watch 4th generation. And like Matt probably mentioned that we have trained or taught a couple classes over the last year or so free of charge to get people allocated with VoiceOver, replacing their traditional computer with an iPad and getting to know Apple TV and its features. So that's where I'm at. I have a podcast of my own. And this is really funny because You wouldn't believe the trouble I had to go through. Apparently, I'm not as creative as I thought I was, because Stir It Up has been taken across the board. Like, for instance, I tried to create a Twitter handle last night, and it was taken. So I had to add the underscore live to the mix. And then in a iCloud for that matter, I had to spell it the way that I spell it on the blog: Stur Itup. I had to spell Stir It Up that way because somebody had taken it there. And the only place it wasn't taken was on the Anchor website. But you know, since the Twitter handle's already there, the WordPress blog was already there, and the email address was already spelled that way, I said, you know what? I'm just going to go ahead and change the Anchor one too. So now the podcast is Sturitup. You know, Stir It Up, with the stirs being spelled the U. You know, for on Anchor, Spotify, Google Podcast, and I forgot that there's another one that's on the list that I can't remember. It starts with a B or something like that. So,
Yeah, Breaker, I think. Breaker,
Breaker, yeah.
and there's something called Radio Public, and I'm not really, to be honest, familiar with all of these very much. You know, we know the big ones, of course, and we're very hopeful and very excited about soon being on Apple Podcasts as well. We're just waiting for the official word on that, of course.
Right. So is once it's approved on the other services, whenever we post one, it automatically goes there. Is that how that works?
Yeah, once they're approved one time, then anytime you know, publish a podcast, it's everywhere within just a few hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's jump right in then.
Yeah, absolutely. So we mentioned at the opening of this podcast that we were going to talk a little bit about Apple's WWDC, or Worldwide Developers Conference. Just in case, for those of you who don't know, this is the time every year, typically in the beginning of June, when Apple holds a quite a large event, and by large, I'm talking thousands of people attending in person. As a matter of fact, you have to attend by lottery, to even have the option to purchase a ticket, because that's how many. Well, of course, you know how many apps on the App Store now, over a million. But it's a tremendous opportunity for developers, because they can actually work live with Apple engineers to test their code, to sort of refine their apps, to try out new features that are going to be coming later on in the year, and see how they can implement those into their apps. And there's a lot of other sessions, a lot of special and really unique opportunities for developers, many of which I'm sure I don't even know about because I'm not a developer. But it's a tremendous resource and a tremendous opportunity for them. But the highlight of the WWDC for those of us who teach Apple products and who love Apple products, maybe even call ourselves Apple fanboys, the highlight is the opening keynote, which is often live streamed to the public. And it certainly was again this year. And this is the point where Apple publicly announces all of the new software that's coming later on in the year. Sometimes they even announce a little bit of hardware, as they did this year, which we'll get into. But mostly the focus is on the software platforms that we know and love: iOS, macOS, tvOS, and so on. And so they'll demo on stage live many, though not all, of the new features in each of the platforms. And I think we can safely say, right, Cliff, that this year, I mean, it was absolutely huge. I'm not sure I've ever seen a bigger list of new features and other changes in software prior to this year.
No, I mean, iOS 10 maybe, but I mean, this year was it trumps it all. I mean, there's a lot of new features and a lot of great features coming to the iPad, which I've gotten a few emails from our students asking if we're going to have a revised course to teach the new gestures. I told them that I would get back to them, and I didn't know, but and on the other hand, I also reminded them that we've always taught them to explore options and settings before asking for help to make sure that, you know, it's something that could be figured out, which it should be.
Absolutely.
But
Absolutely. We have not announced our fall 2019 and spring 2020 training schedule yet. Usually that gets announced mid-August or so. And the instructors are going to have a little powwow here at the beginning of August, an in-person meeting, which we're very excited about. And we'll be doing a live stream and a podcast from that event as well. So you'll hear more details about that in the coming weeks. But at that point, we will officially decide and probably announce what our courses will be and the highlights of that. But yeah, I don't know, every major, and really nearly every app has received at least one notable change or improvement or update. One of the bloggers, and I can't remember what website they were from, said it's as if Apple just looked at everybody's wish list and just went right through and granted every wish that they gave them. You know, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but
Even a couple of them went as far as to say, well, and I know Apple does this because I've seen it in the past, that they look at the jailbreak community to see what people really want. And also, they said that there are seven features in this year's iOS and iPadOS that Android has already had for the last 3 years. I don't know how true that is because I'm not there, but hey, sometimes Apple takes their time to make sure that it's going to work and they don't have to go back and tweak anything. So
Well, yeah,
I
we've
don't
seen
mind
that
waiting on
happen.
certain things, so.
No, we've seen that a lot where Android or other platforms will, introduce something and it works, about half the time, about half as well as you'd like it to. And Apple waits 2 or 3 years and, sometimes gets criticism for that. But then when their feature comes out, it works perfectly well 99.9% of the time. So yeah, it's a noticeable difference, and I think that's probably what we're seeing here. Do you want to do we want to sort of just go through the best I can remember the order of platforms that was announced and stuff, and just sort of talk about what stood out to you, and
Yeah, I
we
mean,
can.
we ain't got to go in order, but we can just make sure we try to remember as much as we can.
Right. I'm not sure if I can remember the order anyhow, so it really doesn't matter. But I do know the first one that was talked about, though, was tvOS with the Apple TV. And of course, in case any of you don't know that are listening, a lot of times the Apple TV app does not necessarily receive its revision during the initial 0.0 update. Like, it didn't come with iOS 12, but it came with, I don't know, 12.3, I think it was in the spring, or 12.2. It must have been 12.2. Now, maybe I whatever. Anyhow, it was a completely redesigned Apple TV app with the new Apple TV channels, and a more customized, more personalized recommendations based upon what you're watching. And it really is a fantastic app, and it sort of lays the groundwork for the upcoming Apple TV Plus subscription service that is supposedly coming in the fall, where Apple's got a lot of ambitions regarding new series and movies and
I'm
so
glad you
on,
brought
very
that
big
up because
names.
I read a blog today that quote unquote criticized Apple for their guesstimated price point because Disney owns all of Hulu now and they're able to do more things with their original content. You know, Disney has a huge library. Apple has been slated to charge $10.99 for their Apple TV Plus subscription service. And as we know, they don't have very many shows that we know about anyway. But Disney is going to undercut everybody. And their service is only slated to cost a whole $6.99.
Yeah, it's
So.
interesting. Yeah, I saw the title of that article, and of course the trouble with that stuff is that people always try to guess, and we all know that Apple doesn't discuss unannounced stuff, so all of the rumors are based upon, a lot of times there's some truth to the rumors, but any of that stuff could change right up until the day that it's announced. And actually, for that matter, Disney's service has not been released officially yet either. So it'll be interesting to see. I have very much resisted the temptation to go down the path that a lot of folks have gone down, which is to try to sort of, maybe for a good discussion or a news story, whatever. But they've tried to sort of pit one of the services against each other. Will this Disney service kill Netflix? Will it be, and the trouble with any of that, as far as I'm concerned, is Disney is in a very targeted position. I mean, I'm not saying that every movie and show on Disney, is for kids, because we know there are movies that, entire families and adults, for that matter, watch. But it is a more targeted service. I also think with Netflix and Netflix only, you have, a lot of these other shows which Apple TV Plus is not, has not, at least at this point, announced. So I don't know that it's going to be the same. And of course, what happens with Disney will depend on whether Hulu and Disney try to combine or what. I mean, I suppose theoretically that could happen because Disney owns the lion's share of Hulu now, right?
Right. I think they own like 85, maybe 90%. And there's only one other. I mean, Comcast is still in the mix, but Comcast owns as much as basically Disney told them, look, take this seat. You still own part of it, but we make the decisions. That's what basically the article
I read said. Comcast has taken a very hands-off approach to that. And there's a certain point where they will.
I think they did that because they want to keep part of their hand in the pot, per se. Plus, they own some of the few channels. But by, I think it said by 2023, Comcast won't own anything.
Yeah.
Any of Disney, I should say. Or not Disney, but Hulu.
Hulu, right, exactly. So it'll all be very interesting to see what happens. And, you know, with all of this said, my, you know, initial point in that was that you've already seen a number of changes and updates to the Apple TV app. But the Apple TV software itself, tvOS 13, does have a lot of new features. Probably the one that stood out most to me right from the get-go was, well, actually, there were two. I don't know about you. The two that stood out to me a lot were the support for profiles. And they're basing this upon your use of the Apple Home app. And you'll be able to have a separate list of recommendations, a separate watch history for each person in the family. So if your wife wants to watch a certain movie or show that you don't watch it, or vice versa, they don't, or the kids or whatever, then they don't both show up in each other's list of watch now, and they don't influence your recommendations. And there is a control center where you can switch back and forth between these profiles quickly. The other feature that stood out to me, which is just kind of a cool thing, and I doubt for those of us who use VoiceOver that it will really be anything that we even notice, but for sighted folks, I think it's really cool. And that is the lyric sync, where when you're listening to music from your, you know, Apple Music or your iCloud music library, it will sync the lyrics, I guess, with the music as it's playing. So those, I don't know, there's a lot of new features. What else stood out to you in tvOS?
I don't think it was announced at the keynote, but in recent weeks, developers have been posting different things they've been finding, but the picture-in-picture feature where you can be watching something in the bottom corner and navigate other apps or, you know, do other things on the TV. So,
yes, I thought that was very cool. That's a neat feature. And then there were some others. There's going to be support for Xbox One S and PS4 game controllers and just a few different things here and there. New, you know, some new screensavers and stuff. But probably the most notable features being the picture-in-picture and the profiles for sure.
I just like the channels that they're subscribing, you know, that they're listing in the TV app, so you don't have to, you know, get them directly from the company like HBO, Showtime, Stars. You can subscribe to all those within the TV app. Although I don't do it that way, I have those apps integrated on my Apple TV because, as you know, I signed in with a Comcast login. My history and recommendations for those channels still show up in the TV app as it stands
exactly
right now.
Exactly. So. Yeah. So it really isn't a must do if you already have, let's say HBO through your TV provider, especially if you're getting it at a discounted rate. You know, it's not as if you have to switch to the Apple TV channel of HBO just to get, you know, everything to work, because it will sync. It will show up in recommendations and all this, you know, it's a part of that whole system. In the case of Stars specifically, I do like the Apple TV channel because the Stars app is currently not all that accessible with VoiceOver. So it is nice to have the entire Stars lineup accessible through the TV app.
Yes, it is.
Well, which platform, what do you want to cover next? Which one do you want to?
Let's go with the iPad, because right now that's my favorite device. So
mine too. And I think that's the biggest. iOS, well, toss up. But so first of all, folks, in case you kind of have maybe been living under a rock somewhere, there is a new iOS, which previously, up until now, represented iPad, iPhone, and iPod Touch, has now been split. And so for the first time, iOS is iPhone and iPod Touch. And if you have an iPad, you'll be running iPad OS. Now, it's important to note that it really is the same software. It is the same foundation. It's built on iOS. It will have all of the features that iOS has. But just like HomePod software, tvOS, watchOS, they're all built on iOS, and then they have custom features for their particular devices. It's the same, it's true with iPad OS. So it's going to go above and beyond what you have on your iPhone in order to bring you unique features that are best suited for and that really shine on the larger screen of the iPad, the extra screen real estate. It's sort of already been happening. I mean, we had a lot of new iPad features in iOS 11, with the persistent dock and of course the split screen multitasking, even picture in picture, which actually started back in iOS 9. So I'm kind of not surprised, I guess, that they split them up like that.
Right. I mean, as we've stated before, Apple takes their time when they do certain things. And who knows? They could have started this process 3 years ago and just now got it to where they want it and decided to release it to the public. So, I mean,
Exactly.
one of my favorite features is the fact that you can connect external drives. Now, I know that's not a big deal for some, but I mean, even for you, say you're teaching that space class or you're teaching some class in a presentation and there's too many files that you can't fit on your iPad. Now you can just pull up a hard external hard drive out your back, plug it up and find something that you need and put it up on the big screen. So
Yeah, it's one of those things that I've said. There's a lot of times when the I genuinely believe that the community of users is extremely hard on Apple as a whole. And Apple says that they don't mind that because it challenges them, it pushes them ahead. And I think it's because they are so good at what they do that we come to expect so much from them. But there's been a lot of cases where I've said, yeah, I would not have begged for this feature. It wasn't a deal breaker for me, but I'm glad it's being added. And that's kind of how I feel about the external drive support. I am a, as you know, Cliff, I am a wireless and cloud user. So iCloud Drive, Dropbox, AirDrop, even sending by email or text is what I would prefer to do over using, physical removable storage drives. But it is extremely nice to know on a device that we have advocated for several years that can replace a, traditional computer. It's extremely nice to know that it's going to support these various forms of external media, so that in those cases, like you said, if there is a situation where it is most convenient to just give something to someone on a flash drive or to, copy something from an SD card. One of the things we've seen ever since the iPad was first released in 2010, there was limited support for SD cards. It was strictly related to the Photos app. And that's fine if all you wanted to do was import your photos. But it's nice to see for those folks who maybe use other types of devices that record audio or video onto SD cards or something. It's nice to see they'll be able to, stick an SD card into the iPad through an adapter. Which, by the way, we should reiterate that the adapters already exist and have existed for years. So
But you
regardless of
just need a
whether
third party. You just need a third party app to activate it. Now you're not going to need that.
that's exactly right. So whether you needed a, if you have a Lightning port or if you have one of the new iPad Pros with the USB-C port, Apple already sells adapters to get you up and running with either USB drives or with SD cards and so on. So yeah, I'm excited about the external drive support.
I've even
And so
picked up the, and before I say this, we are not getting paid by any sponsors to plug anybody's products or anything like that. But
exactly.
I did pick up the HyperDrive 6-in-1. That's the one that's made for the iPad Pro with the USB-C plug-in port, and it has USB on it, USB-C, card reader, USB 3.0, and a couple of HDMI, and one more that I'm missing. But the bottom line is, I can plug this into my iPad Pro and be able to access external drive. I can plug in a headset. I can plug in a USB external stick, a card, anything. So
Exactly. So there's a lot of nice stuff happening there. I'm trying to think. We had, oh my, I mean, it's just a huge, huge list of features. Every app, as I said, in one way or another. I mean, whether you look at the fact that the calendar, something as simple as the calendar is now going to allow attachments in events and additional information in events that wasn't there before. Maps app is getting the look around feature and better favorites and collections, small things like that, or seemingly small things that are actually going to probably end up being really big and really well liked, but they seem small. Or you go to the other end of the spectrum, the Reminders app is being completely redesigned to give you not only new features but a new look.
Yeah, you mentioned the big one there too, CarPlay, because Google Look Around, you're going to get more options on the screen. You're going to get an ETA up in the corner. You can even send that ETA to whoever you're going to meet, or say your spouse wants to know how long it's going to take you to get there so they can meet you there. You can send that information to them directly from the CarPlay screen.
Yeah, that's right. One of the features you just reminded me of, sort of inadvertently, not sure how the chain of thoughts went in my mind exactly, but this I'm really excited about, and I don't know every detail about it yet, but I'll share what I do know. And Cliff, maybe there's some additional stuff that you can add in too. So for starters, most of there are two apps right now, Find My iPhone and Find My Friends. First of all, they're being combined into one app just called Find My. But the really big
Yep, I
news
did see
about,
that.
did you, okay, the really big news about Find My is that it will now allow people to locate lost devices, even if those devices have lost connection to Wi-Fi or cellular data. So presumably, even if the devices are off. Now, I don't know if Apple used that language exactly, so I can't tell you, if somebody's battery dies, I don't know. But you would presume that that's the case. What if the way I understand this, and maybe somebody can correct us here. You know how to get a hold of us. The tech juggernaut at iCloud.com is our iMessage and email for this particular podcast, and we'll talk more about that later. But anyhow, the way I understand it is that there's a very low-level Bluetooth beacon type signal that can be sent out from any of these iOS devices or even Mac devices for that matter. And when it's crowdsourced, so what happens is if you're at a ball game and there's a lost phone that somebody dropped in the men's room or in the concession stand or something, because you're near it, your phone is going to pick up that Bluetooth beacon and it's going to relay it out to iCloud. And then iCloud determines, hey, this belongs to Trainer Cliff. It sends it an encrypted key to you, and the only person who can access it is you on one of your other trusted devices. So you got to have at least two devices to make it work. Apple can't even do it. You have to use another trusted device to decrypt that key, and it's not anything you're going to have to specifically do. It's just that when you open your trusted device and use Find My, it will be able to pick up on those encrypted keys and decrypt them and say, this is where your lost device is. I think this could be huge, because I mean, we've already had incidents where, one of the kids or even the adults, where did I put my iPhone? Oh no, its battery died, so now I got to find it manually. I can't,
Well,
see
let's
it
just
on
be
the
clear too. Trainer Cliff is not losing his get phone at a stadium. I paid too much for that phone for it to be just losing it.
that phone is always on me. I have one of these little things on the back of my phone which has my credit cards in it and so forth. And somebody said to me, well, what would you do if you lost your phone? Then you wouldn't have your credit card. I said, if I lost my phone, I'd have way bigger problems than just that credit card. That's not that phone is with me, but yeah,
I
no.
mean, yeah, because credit cards, I mean, you could deactivate them, but I mean, the
Yeah.
phone, I mean, if unless you got the proper insurance, it's going to cost you a pretty penny. So
Yeah. Yeah. So
let's
that's a
see,
feature that's pretty big.
the Reminders app is another one that you mentioned that's huge, because it's supposed to give you a lot more detail. I mean, because right now, admittedly, I've never really used it. I used it once or twice because of the lack of details that it requires. But now Apple has put more things in there where it's going to be more personalized. So I'm definitely, when the public beta is released, I saw an article yesterday that claims it's going to be June. But somebody said it could be a misprint. So you never know. But anyway, that's one of the first things I'm going to look at.
I'm very excited to see it as well. There's entire folders can be shared in Notes and in the Files app now. Previously, you were able to share, well, let me rephrase that. Previously, you could share files, which is, send them as a text, an email, copy them to another app. You could also add people was the term. And it was, I want to collaboratively work with so and so on this particular Pages document. Or
Right,
even if
with
it's not,
individual files.
that's right. And even if it wasn't collaborative, even if it didn't support collaboration, maybe an audio file or something, you could still send people a link to it rather than sending them the file directly. And it was still called add people. What you could not do was send entire folders. And now you're going to be able to collaborate to add people to
Now,
entire folders.
this is one thing I can't wait to figure out. Now, are we sharing the folder as if it was Dropbox, or am I actually sending you a file that you open up or add to your device through an email? So, for instance, am I sharing a folder and we both can add and subtract things from it, or am I technically really sending you this whole folder?
I don't know if it's going to be, I don't know if folders will support collaboration or if there will be options. I don't think that's been announced yet. I know that with iOS 12, with the individual files, it depends on the kind of file, of course, whether both people can modify it. But also, the way that it works is it sends the recipient a link to it and they can click on it. But I get the impression that it is downloading that item to the recipient device as well, which I think is really what Dropbox does too. I mean, if I sent you a folder of videos that we shared on Dropbox, you would have to download those videos to actually use them as well, right?
Yes.
So
But
I think it's,
the way I'm looking at it is though, like the way it is on the Mac, which I shouldn't even be thinking about because like I said, I barely turn it on these days. I think I'm even gonna, because it's a Mac Mini and I don't need a monitor because I have the toggle because I use VoiceOver. I think what I'm gonna do this school year coming up, I got a couple of kids in middle school, actually three in middle school, so they're probably gonna need that for homework. So I'll just get a monitor and, whatever. But anyway, the way I was thinking about it is as if, say, I had an album I wanted to share with you, and on the Mac, I would just copy, paste it into the email, bam, send it to you. But I think it's what you said. I think it's gonna be, I'm adding you to the folder, and we both can add and subtract files from that folder. Unless you make it read only.
Unless that's right. And usually there are options for that.
Now, one of the things that I don't I'm not gonna say we skipped over it, but it's been recently announced because it wasn't this one was not touched on at the WWDC. And it's the fact that you can connect to a remote server through SMB. And that's a huge deal because that's helping out people who maybe don't want to lug around a hard drive or they have so much content that logging into their server away from home is much better. So
So for those of you out there in the world here, I have a lot of movies and a lot of songs, most of them which I've purchased from iTunes, but not all, but in my collection, and I thought I had a lot, and I was saying, oh, I have, a couple hundred movies, a couple hundred TV shows, 5,000, 6,000 songs, I say, Trainer Cliff comes along and I don't know, what do you have, like 700,000 songs? I don't know how many you have.
it's about that. Well, I haven't. I mean, I've collected them over the years, exchanging with different friends and downloading certain things. But it's probably in the neighborhood of about 500,000.
So that SMB support, all kidding aside, will be huge for you because that will
Yes, it
really,
will.
you'll be able to connect them to like a network attached store, like the WD My Cloud Cliff uses. You'll be able to connect to that then, right?
Right. And in the on the other hand though, you can already do that through the Files app. Now it's not through SMB, But and it's only locally. Like if I'm on my network at home, I can connect to it. But I think this feature we're talking about is I if I'm at your house, as long as I know the credentials, I can log into it on my iPad from there.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. That is. And then there's a few features that I just want to, you mentioned CarPlay. There are some neat things that are happening with the when CarPlay was discussed at WWDC this year, it was discussed in conjunction with Siri, AirPods, and the HomePod. And the one of the big things with the HomePod, which I think is really, really big, I think it's really important. I was not one that was criticizing Apple for the lack of it. I figured it would come when Apple felt it was needed or time to do it. But there were some people who definitely criticized it. So I'm glad they're doing it. And that is that now the HomePod will be able to distinguish between multiple users in a family and will adjust accordingly by, your contacts, your calendar, your text messages. If if you live in the house and you say send a text message, it will send it from your phone number or Apple ID. If someone else in the household says it, it'll do it from there. I was really shocked. Honestly, there were several times at WWDC, and I can't even remember what all of them were now, but there were several times that the audience and the media just erupted in applause. I thought that would be one of them because of the amount of criticism the HomePod received for not being a multi-user device in that true sense of the word, when the other one, the Amazon Echo and the Google were. And I thought the audience would go nuts when Apple announced that, and they really didn't as much as I expected them to. But I think it's going to be really big. Again, it's one of those things I wasn't begging for, but I'm glad it's being added.
Yes. And I mean, no other device does that though, right? Like the Echo and the other one.
Well, they sort of do. You can train them, like with the Echo, you can go in and you can train them to different voices, and Google calls it voice match. The biggest difference here is it's going to be a lot more seamless with Apple. And I can say that without even having used it, just because of the way that they're
Like it
describing.
always is.
Well,
I
like it
mean,
always is anyhow. That's right. That's right. But the way they're looking at doing it, I guess, is through a combination of the home app. And I suppose it's also the training you do when you say, hey, Siri, when you set up your device and you train it to your voice. I believe that may be part of this, so you don't have to do separate training or anything. I could be wrong about that part, but that was my understanding of it.
yeah, that almost made me go get one because I originally had one and sold it to you. But I heard a rumor that there's going to be a second generation by the end of the year, so I'm kind of waiting to see what happens with that.
Yeah, that'll be interesting. And there's something with the AirPods where you're going to be able to share the listening experience with another person with their AirPods, like two of you can listen. I guess it's two people can listen to the same thing at the same time. Is that how your impression of that is?
What was it?
There's some kind of group listening, like two people are going to be able to use their own AirPods to listen to the same music at the same time now.
Right. It's and it from what I've read, you have to have in the new Power Beats Pro are going to be able to do this too. But I think you have to have a Apple Bluetooth device in order to do this. So I don't think you can do two speakers. I mean, you can do that with AirPlay 2 anyway. But
Well, yeah, you can with
if
AirPlay too, right?
you and I are in the same room and we both have headsets, your Apple AirPods and my Beats Pro, I think either one of us will be able to send audio that we're listening to each other. I think that's how that's going to
Right.
work.
Yeah, that's really cool. There's so much, folks. I know we're missing tons of them because there, I mean, there are hundreds and hundreds of new features for iOS and iPadOS. iPadOS, one of the cool things is, those of you may know about the widgets, which is that, if you swipe to the left again after your first page of apps or for voiceover users, it's a three-finger swipe to the right. And it brings up the today screen with different customizable widgets, so you can see right now what the weather is alongside of your, an overview of your day, Nearby restaurants. You can see maybe a Wikipedia article of the day, your sports scores, whatever. And you can customize these things. Well, on iPad OS now, you're going to be able to actually pin your favorite widgets to the main home screen, so you don't have to swipe over an extra page. And I don't know how many it will support, or exactly how it will function, but it definitely will support that. And the other features we should just discuss, because everyone in the sighted community right now is, I'm sure, wondering why we haven't. And that is dark mode. Dark mode, a system-wide dark mode, is coming to iOS and iPad OS, which you'll be able to toggle on the fly, as well as scheduling, much like you can with Apple TV already. And so this is something that has been very, very highly requested. There is also going to be a number of there are going to be a number of enhancements to multitasking on the iPad. So up until iOS or iPad OS rather, you've been able to multitask two apps side by side. And now you actually are going to be able to not only do that, but you're also going to be able to multitask two windows within the same app. So if I
That's
have
going to be
two.
interesting from a voiceover standpoint, because right now, I ain't going to say we, but some people already had a lot of trouble getting two apps side by side. Now you're going to be able to
Yes.
do three or four, drag and drop, pinch and unpinch and all this other stuff. So it's
Yeah.
going to be interesting to see how those gestures are going to work.
There's a lot of that which, may not even work for voiceover users in the first couple of betas, because, sometimes those gestures and the proper voiceover hints don't get added until later in the game. So we'll have to see as betas start rolling out. But I
The
do.
tips app is definitely going to come in handy these days with this update.
It is. Yeah, it absolutely is.
The other thing that is going to happen is Shortcuts is going to be a stock app now. So if you walk into an Apple store in September, right after iOS 13, iPad OS is released, Shortcuts will be one of the apps built installed on your device automatically.
And yes, and there's supposed to be some, I guess, refinements to the way shortcuts are created, or at least how they're presented to users, so that anybody can create a shortcut. I mean, really, anybody can create a shortcut now, don't get me wrong.
But it's
But I
gonna be
know
more
some
on a.
people
I
shy
think it's gonna be
away from
more
it.
on ha. It's gonna be more on habits.
Right.
Siri's gonna learn your habits and suggest shortcuts to you and create them for you automatically. I think
Right,
I'm not.
right.
Well, they're gonna ask you if you, she's gonna ask you if you want them created. That's what it's gonna do.
Right.
One of the big things that some people are raving about, and I haven't even looked into the details on it, but contacts are gonna have more relationship profiles. So I guess
Yes,
you're
and
gonna have
I
more
wonder what those
choices.
are, but I right. Yeah, I saw that
Mail.
too.
It said mail said something about folders. I didn't understand what they meant. Do you know what that's all about?
I'm
You're going
trying
to
to
be able to do
remember.
something with folders.
Yes, what did I hear about mail? I can't even remember now.
I do know that if you have somebody blocked in your contacts, so say I'm sending you too much mail, you're like, you know what, I'm about to block Cliff right now. In before, the email would come through, but now there's supposed to be an option where you can the email won't even come in.
Yes, you can mute conversations in mail. That's correct. Yep. Yeah, I don't know what the other mail feature was, but I do know that one. You're right about that. And along those same lines, while we're talking about that, you also now have the option to, or you will have the option to silence unknown callers automatically. And this would be a personal preference. It's a setting. I don't anticipate using it much, but I suppose if you were away somewhere and you really, really only wanted the people in your contacts and your favorites to get a hold of you, you could turn this feature on, and anybody else gets sent straight to voicemail. And I guess I'm not sure if the repeated caller, I thought I read somewhere where the repeated caller thing still takes effect, meaning if you call them back within a 3 minute time period, it goes through, but I'm not sure if that's true or not. But I could see some benefits to having that setting.
Yeah. Screen time, right? It's getting more detailed. So you will be able to monitor or control who your kids talk to during and during downtime and just screen time. Say, for instance, you can have them contacts only or specific contacts that they can communicate with. I think this is a huge one, especially for teenagers that like to stay up all night and text or maybe chat on the phone or whatever the case may be. I mean, I was a teenager once, under the covers with the phone receiver, and back in the 70s and 80s, your mom comes in the room, you act like you're asleep. But now you'll be able to, set the contacts that they can contact when it's downtime.
It's a that's a very meaningful feature, I think, and it's going to be very useful for a lot of people.
I mean, the kids are probably not going to like it, but oh, the ability to zip and unzip files
Yeah,
and
that's what I
folders
was
that
going
I
to
sent
say
to you.
too. Yes, that's a big one because right now you can view zip files, you can access them, but now you'll actually be able to unzip the entire archive. You'll be able to zip files yourself, create zip archives, and along those lines too, Safari's getting a download manager.
Oh, I'm glad you brought up Safari because one of the things that I'm going to like is you know how, and I just did this last night when I was at work. You know how you forget to close tabs? Now you can set a thing for, when how often you want Safari to close your tabs. I mean, I went into the thing last night because I was trying to look at my Shoutcast server, get it ready for next week. And I said, you know what? Maybe I got too many tabs open. So I double tap and hold, and it said, "Do you want to cr close all 132 tabs?" I'm like, "My goodness, I didn't know I had this many open." So yeah, that's gonna be a useful feature because I always
It
forget
is.
to close. I mean, because you just don't even think
You
about it. You
just
just
don't
go to
think
your
about
page
it.
and you.
No, you just do what you do. I'll tell you who's going to love that. Trainer Rita is going to love that feature because she always talks about how important it is and how she sometimes forgets herself and then she'll have, this many tabs open. But the funny part about it is with Trainer Rita, when she says she forgets herself and then has this many, it's only like seven or eight tabs. And I'm sitting there thinking,
Right.
yeah, I had 37 yesterday.
Yeah, we definitely got to get her and Trainer Lynn to at least download the Anchor app because I don't know if you saw it, but I sent my podcast yesterday and Lynn was trying to listen to it, but she didn't have Spotify. But you can, there's other resources and that play button at the bottom of the page, but I think we've covered all the major ones. I mean, is there any other, little tidbits that you can think about
Oh
that
my,
other people have mentioned?
I'm sure there are, but I can't, right now what we can move on to tell you
Oh,
what, folks, oh,
one
go ahead.
OS we didn't touch on is Watch OS.
Yeah, we need to touch on Watch OS and Mac OS a little bit too, but I just want to say to the folks, if you want to find out all of the details, there's a couple of resources and I'll put them in the descriptions, but for example, going to apple.com, and if you in fact Apple has a YouTube channel, you can actually watch the keynote live that we're not live, but you can watch the keynote back from WWDC that we're talking about. If you have the Apple Events app on your Apple TV, if you have on your iOS or WWDC app, and then there's a lot of websites, Mac Rumors, 9 to 5 Mac, Apple Insider. If you're really curious, it won't take much more than a simple Google search or a simple YouTube search, and within seconds, you'll be watching or reading about all of the features, and I'm sure tons of them that we missed, but there are entire lists that people have made,
Right,
plus the ones that
like
Apple is sharing,
I think a blog called Redmond Pie, which is REDMOND, and again, we do not get any compensation for telling you about these resources, but it's Redmond Pie, REDMONDPIE.com. They have stuff all over their page. I mean, they even have a screenshot of over 200 features that weren't even touched on during the WWDC. So you might want to take a look at that list.
Yeah, that's the it's funny because Redmond Pie is one of those that pops up every summer for me. I see it. I don't ever really see Redmond Pie any other time of the year except when beta season is, the big beta testing season's going on, usually throughout the summer, and then I see Redmond Pie a lot, and I sometimes I can see that, I get the change logs even from there. So it's a good site to look at during this time of year.
Yeah,
But yeah, let's see.
my favorite is 9 to 5 Mac and Apple Insider. That's where I get most of my news from.
Yes. And we should mention too that a lot of these have Apple News channels. A lot of them have their own apps in the App Store. You can get notifications.
I think even download I download blog. They have a podcast that they do weekly.
Yes, I think they do. Yeah, yeah.
But on to watchOS.
Yeah, let's talk about watchOS and then macOS quick too.
One of the things that stood out to me, and I guess they didn't even talk about it, but it was announced or blogged about yesterday, is the fact that you'll be able to delete stock apps off the watch. Now, that is something that is going to definitely come in handy because there's so many apps that I don't even use that I can't delete.
Yes, yes. That and the other feature that was mentioned, again, that's sort of a small thing, but it will mean something to a lot of people, is over-the-air software updates for the watch instead of, I guess, having to have – I don't know if that's coming right away, but it supposedly you can now do updates directly on the watch instead of having to do them on the phone. But there's also
that
some
never
pretty
made
big...
sense to me. That never made sense to me anyway, based on the fact that your watch is on the same Wi-Fi network that your phone is anyway. So, I mean,
yeah, yeah, yeah. It was always a bit of an unusual thing in my mind, but a lot of big features in watchOS. A number of health-related enhancements again, you know, but also and also a number of new watch faces again, but also a couple of big notable things. The voice memos app, the calculator app, including a tip calculator. These are coming to the watch. What else with the Apple Watch? Trying to think what else they talked about. So those were two that really stood out. I don't know how this works, and I've been wrong about this one before because I've misunderstood this before, but I am getting the impression, now tell me if you think differently than this, I'm getting the impression that you will actually finally be able to listen to music directly on the watch through the speaker of the watch without having to have anything paired to it. Is that the impression you got?
That is the impression I got, and I haven't heard anything different. Of course, developers have iWatchOS, but they really haven't talked about it. They've mainly concentrated on iPad, iOS, and macOS. So I haven't seen anything really huge on the watch except for the fact that you can remove stock apps, the fact that it's getting its own app store. And, And that's definitely a big one. So, and the fact that you won't have to have a companion app on the.
That's right. That's exactly right.
You still there?
There we are. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm not sure what happened there, but.
I forgot to put on Do Not Disturb, so.
Oh. See,
but
that when something happens, we blame Cliff. That's really how it works.
But yeah, but not having to have a companion app is going to be huge. I mean, especially with the cellular data watches, I'm sure.
Right, right, exactly.
So. Now,
and
Mac
then other
OS,
than that, macOS, yeah.
I was about to say, we both used to use it extensively, but in the last year, I probably can count the times on one hand that I've even turned mine on, so.
Yeah, me too.
You don't even own one anymore, except for the one in the lower level that you said you're going to be selling.
Right. What happened, folks? I don't even own a Mac anymore. As Cliff said, I use the iPad for everything and the iPhone. But a customer had purchased a Mac through me a number of years ago, back in 2011, and I had trained her and everything, and then she came to me when she was ready to buy a new Mac just this past year. And, she talked to me about what can I do with this, and I, told her that, I thought she could sell it or give it away, but, she wasn't going to be able to get a ton of money for it if she sold it because of its age. And at that point in time, Mojave was almost coming out. So I said, you're not going to be able to install any new software on it after that. She said, well, you know what? She said, I'll just give it to you. You can either use it or you can sell it or just do whatever you want with it. But I have no, I don't really know anybody else. And she said, I'm just not worried about it. So we kind of inherited this Mac, which every now and then the kids will, get on and play Tetris or something, but really we don't use it. It is just sitting down there. I suppose if I do a beta testing and I feel like I have to restore to iOS 12 this summer, that might come in handy. Hopefully that won't have to happen. But macOS is getting some neat updates and some neat changes. And one of the biggest ones, of course, that has been talked about quite a bit in the community is that the iTunes app is being broken up into several smaller apps. Some people are saying, oh no, and others are saying it's about time. So instead of the iTunes app handling everything that it handles now, and it was actually really funny and really cute the way that Apple announced this, because even they admitted that the iTunes app is getting very, very overwhelming to an extent. And they said, yeah, why don't we make the iTunes app even bigger? This year, now you can manage your mail from iTunes and your calendars from iTunes. And yeah, of course, they were joking. But they said all that to say that now there's going to be a music app, a TV app, and a podcast app. And they're going to be updating the Books app, of course. So all just like on iOS and iPadOS. And then your management of devices for those who still do manage your devices from a computer. I don't. We do the iCloud backups and everything. But if you do, you'll now do that from the Finder. You won't even need an app. You'll just use the Finder. It'll just be there. And supposedly, just about everything you can do in iTunes with your devices now, you'll be able to do in the Finder going forward. And of course, the music app will take care of all the things that iTunes handles, like your iTunes Match uploads, and it'll all your content will be there, your personal collection. I assume that for those people who have super drives, either built in or externally, that you'll still be able to import CDs and burn CDs from playlists, though I don't know. I mean, I've
You know,
not
that's an
heard anything on
interesting
that.
thing that you just brought up, because I thought about, I forgot about the Super Drive because I don't even use mine.
Well,
But
right. I don't know. Yeah, I don't.
I wonder if you'll be able to plug your Super Drive into your iPad to upload something to iTunes that way. That's something that I wonder.
Now, that is an interesting question. Boy, I don't know. I mean, now I, or
Because
even if not.
I haven't even heard it talked about, so maybe not. But just that's something
Right.
definitely to explore.
It is interesting. And again, these are things, CDs and even really thumb drives are, quickly fading into the past. I mean, it's, Wi-Fi and cloud storage and AirDrop and all this really is the, I think the way to go. But there are some folks who still use them for different reasons. So yeah, that is interesting.
Yep, so I think that about covers everything.
Yeah, I think it does too. I think it really does. I guess the only other thing that I would say is that we really want to encourage those of you who are willing to become a beta tester for Apple products. It is a chance to really help to shape the future of the software because you can submit bug reports and hopefully see them fixed. And it's really kind of nice to see the fruits of that. Obviously, I kind of liken it to a test pilot, except of course without the risk of your own life, but flying unproven experimental aircraft, doing things they have never been done before. It's kind of the same thing. You're installing the software. It's not been completely certified. Usually, by the time it's in public beta, it's considered mostly stable. But you certainly could run into even major features that don't work properly or at all. You could run into third-party apps. You definitely could run into third-party apps that don't work properly or at all because they don't have to yet. The developers have some time to get their apps ready for that. But the, again, the upside is that Apple releases updates every 2 weeks and often every week as we get closer to the public release. And it is just a really neat experience. If you have the willingness to do it, we would love to hear from you. We have a listserv. It is a an email group which is at the groups.io website, and you can sign up. It's public beta users hyphenated, so it's public-beta-users@groups.io is where you'll actually send your emails, but you got to subscribe first. And the link to that is the same thing except a plus subscribe. So it's public-beta-users plus subscribe at groups.io. Please only subscribe if you actually are going to beta test because it is confidential. There is a non-disclosure agreement, and we do enforce that on our end, even though we don't work for Apple or we're not affiliated with Apple in any way. We do adhere to what they require and ask of us. We don't discuss the beta with non-beta users, and we stick to that pretty stringently. So only subscribe if you plan to beta test. And I don't know if we did we lose you, Cliff? Are you there? It appears we may have lost Cliff, but we would love to have you. And if you have questions about it, if you just want to know more about beta testing, then send an email to thetechjuggernaut@icloud.com, and we'll be happy to help you out with it in that respect and answer any questions you may have about the process of beta testing. And then when you're ready, you can subscribe. Again, that's public-beta-users+subscribe@groups.io. And that is a great way to find out what you can expect and help to shape that by submitting bugs. And something we take very, very seriously. And we really love doing it.
Hey, the last thing I'd like to tell you folks is that we are accepting questions. And for right now, we're going to give you one way to ask those questions. And that is via iMessage or email. We're also soon going to be announcing the fact that you can share voice messages with us, but we'll do that in the next podcast. For now, if you have questions for the Tech Juggernaut that you would like perhaps to be answered in our next episode, simply send an email or a text to thetechjuggernaut@icloud.com. That is thetechjuggernaut. @icloud.com, thetechjuggernaut@icloud.com. Now, if you are an Apple iOS user, you can surely use iMessage and simply send us a text. If you are not a user of an Apple device, iPad, iPhone, iPod Touch, or Mac, you can send email to thetechjuggernaut@icloud.com. Keep it short, folks. Give us a name. If you desire to, tell us where you're from, but you don't have to. That's entirely optional. And keep it simple and quick, because we've got lots of them to read. So ask us a one or two sentence question related to technology. Be sure it's related to technology. And send it in, and you never know. We might cover it on the next episode. Hey, folks, once again, we want to thank you so much for tuning in today. It is Matt coming at you, ttjtech.net. Check it out. Subscribe to our blog. We'll be back again soon. God bless you, folks. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.